Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Reassurance is knowing our pensions will be supporting you in the years ahead. Speak to a financial broker about a Zurich pension today.
Investigators are working to identify the victims of a fire that tore through a bar in the Swiss town of Crane, Montana, turning a New Year's celebration into one of the country's worst tragedies. A total of 113 of the 119 injured people have been identified so far. 71 of them were Swiss. Now, in a moment, we'll cross to Switzerland for the latest. But in the past few hours, we've been getting more details on what caused the fire. Valais Attorney General Beatrice Pilo explained the theory they're investigating.
It would appear that the fire started from sparkler candles, otherwise known as flares, which were placed on top of champagne bottles. These flares were taken too close to the ceiling. This led to what is referred to a flashover incident where the fire spread very rapidly.
One survivor, Axel, described escaping from the fire.
Suddenly there was a blaze, very intense. Then we were trapped. Lots of people were trapped. We thought we were going to suffocate because of the smoke. We didn't really know where to go. There was a huge crowd and I was all alone. I thought I wasn't going to make it, but I managed to break a window and get out through.
Samuel Rath was on site in the immediate aftermath of the blaze.
There were people screaming and then people lying on the ground, probably dead. They had jackets over their faces. Then I received videos where people were trying to get out, but they were trampling over each other, so it was hard to get out through the exit. And there were people shouting, saying, "Help me, please help us."
And the Swiss president, Guy Parmelin, has spoken about the loss of so many lives.
The circumstances which bring us together for this first day of the year in Valais are dramatic. The fire is one of the worst tragedies this country has experienced. Many lives have been lost. Around 100 people have been injured, some severely. And these statistics have faces, family names, first names, whose lives have been interrupted or damaged forever.
Well, for more on this, we're joined by Sandro Zullian, a journalist with Swiss publication Blick. Sandro, you were at the press conference this afternoon, and we've been hearing that the cause of the fire is being linked to sparklers in champagne bottles. Can you tell us more about what you've been hearing?
So what a lot of media and also people interested with the case have suspected for, quite a big amount of hours so far, is that the ceiling has most likely been set ablaze by champagne bottles. And on those bottles, you would have sparklers that would then reach the ceiling and the foam that's on the ceiling, which has most likely caused this blaze that has killed around 40 people in Switzerland in the night from New Year's Eve to New Year's Day.
Yes, and there were plenty of videos and photos circulating of those sparklers on the bottles. But the authorities did say, Sandro, that that's not confirmed at the moment and there are other angles that they're investigating.
I think this is something they say in order to be able to hold all the options open. If they come out now and say this has been the sole cause of all this, then, you know, they would open themselves up to a lot of criticism if something else would be found out later on in the investigation. So they say this, that this is the most likely case, but something else might come out as well.
And at the press conference this afternoon, Sandro, the authorities mentioned that they had spoken with the owners of the bar.
Yes, indeed. And I was just able to speak to the state attorney of the canton of Wallis. And she has explicitly told me that both of the owners of the bar have been questioned not as suspects, but as witnesses in this first round. Who knows, they might become suspects eventually, they might not, but as of now, both the owners have just been witnesses knowing something about the bar that the authorities do not know now, because most of it has burned down.
And at the moment, we know that at least 40 people have been killed and 119 were injured. Some of those people who were injured are still to be identified. Is that right?
That's correct. What we do know is that some of these victims, I do not know the exact number, but some of these victims, they are said to be extremely severely burnt, meaning that it is almost impossible to identify them, especially quickly. It's a thing of impossibility. So I do think they will have to work with DNA techniques or with the teeth, that they take the teeth and then they can find out who the teeth belong to. It's a very gruesome detail, but it's also something that the authorities and the public has to deal with, knowing these facts, that it's not that easy to identify some of the victims.
And some of those who were injured, we've heard that they're having to be treated in specialist burn centres across Europe.
That's also something that I've been told. I'm not entirely sure how many have been flown out of the country, but there will be numerous victims being flown out of the country, either to Milan is what I've heard. In Switzerland, they're being treated. In Zurich and Lausanne is what I know for sure. And yesterday, there was talk of some of the victims also going to Stuttgart in Germany.
And the people who died and the people who have been injured, it was a mix of nationalities. We know some were Swiss, some French, some Italian. People are still being identified at this stage, and we're still to learn about the names and the lives of those people.
Yes, indeed. Apparently, there have been victims from Turkey, from Serbia, from Luxembourg. I think there is one from Belgium, if I'm not mistaken. It's quite a huge array of different nationalities, which also plays into how difficult it is for the authorities to quickly identify people that have either been killed or been injured.
And what's heartbreaking for so many families, Sandro, is that their loved one is still missing and they still don't have news. They're still trying to find out what happened.
This is something that all of the spokespersons at this press conference today have been talking about. They are aware that every second, every minute that a mom or a dad doesn't know where his or her daughter or son is an extremely excruciating time. And I think the authorities here in the canton of Valais, they are aware, and it does not sit right with them to not be able to tell someone that their loved one has died.
And something people are realising as we see this is that the majority of the victims were quite young and still had all their lives ahead of them. And I suppose that makes it all the more tragic.
Definitely. This is one of the most tragic events that Switzerland has ever seen. Certainly the biggest one I've ever seen as a private person, as well as a journalist. And I've seen many things, from terrorist attacks to school shootings, just the one lately in Austria. I've seen quite a lot, but never this. Even up in Comontana, there was there was a plethora of journalists. Like, I have not seen so many foreign journalists in a small ski resort in Switzerland at once. So that's it is tragic, and at the same time, it is really a big thing happening here in Switzerland. And I think it will stay with us. It certainly will stay with me for the remainder of my life.
And are you able to describe what the town is like at the moment? People have been leaving floral tributes near the scene, and you've been reporting from there throughout the day.
It's been very challenging to walk through there, because you do see a lot of people crying. You see a lot of people with red eyes, and some of them are as young as 14, 15. Sometimes you see older people, potentially the parents. It's it's not easy. People do not, they don't talk very loudly out in the open. They tend to whisper as if not to disturb the dead. It's a very, very special kind of ambience up there. It's really hard to describe, especially over radio. I can't really describe silence to you on the radio. You would have to just be silent on the radio, you know.
And for the area, it's a ski resort at the moment. What are things like there in terms of, is life going back to normal in any way?
I didn't think it would be when I arrived last night in Comontana, but it is going back to normal a bit, because Comontana is actually two villages. One of them is called Cron and the other one is called Montana. You can walk there from one to the other in about 20 minutes. And in the other part of town where nothing happened, you could see people on an ice rink just casually skating about, people going skiing and so on. And I think one or two skiers I've seen, they did not know that something like this had happened just the night before, and they were just strolling by with their skis in their hands, and they felt really out of place. And I thought they seemed very out of place at this moment. But at the same time, I guess life eventually will go back to normal, as human nature is. I've seen many like terrorist attacks, as I mentioned before, and life will go back to normal, and that's also not a bad thing if you think about it.
And we heard that there will be a ceremony held next Friday, the 9th of January, in the area. So that will be, I suppose, an opportunity for people to come together in solidarity and to express their grief as well.
Definitely. There actually will be a vigil tomorrow where people are going to grieve. And this is something that's absolutely needed in a dire time like this. People just need to feel close to one another, and they need to bring their hopelessness to other people so that they can kind of hold each other and make sure that none of them falls.
Sandro Zillian, thanks very much for that.
You're welcome. All the best. Thank you so much.